The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Top 5, a show where we count things down from number 5 all the way to number 1. And this week, a little bit random topic. It just threw the words together and saw what came up, and it spells condiments. Condiments. Top 5 condiments. Right. Things to put on other things to make them taste better.
Oh, wait. You said condiments?
No, not condiments, Matthew. That's a different thing that will get you in trouble.
Going to need to change my list.
So what do you have for your number 5, Matthew?
My number 5 is one of the most wonderful things in the world. And I kind of worry about saying it on the show because I feel like there's a possibility that one of my co-hosts is going to, well, this is just a bastardized version of something better. But I went ahead and put it on the list because it is just amazing. We have a Huhat Mongolian Grill here in town. And if you're not familiar with the Huhat, what you do is you go in, you get your meat, you get your vegetables, you get all the things you want. You take it up and someone actually cooks it on a hibachi grill. And one of the sauces that they have that you can use is called the Black Thai Peanut Sauce, which is kind of a peanut sauce with coconut milk, and it has a little bit of, you know, spiciness to it. It's not one of the spicier sauces because I am, you know, quite frankly, I'm a weenie when it comes to really hot stuff. But it has sort of that, what I really, really love about a peanut sauce, which you don't get a whole lot of in Topeka, Kansas, but it also has just kind of a nice, really creaminess to it with that coconut milk. And of course, anything that you get at one of these grills has a little bit of, you know, chili to it, has a little bit of kick to it. But I really enjoy the Black Thai peanut sauce, partly because I think it has like a lime element to it. And you say to yourself, wow, peanuts, coconut milk, and lime juice, is that going to
sounds like Thai
sauce
to me?
Right. And the answer is heck yes. And if you question that, just go get some because it's really good stuff. I mean, I can just use that and just make my whole meal. I don't, but I could.
All right, there you go. Yeah, those ingredients, pretty much all the primaries for flavoring your Thai food. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number 5?
My number 5, most of my condiments are going to be very basic. And
nothing wrong with that.
It doesn't get more basic than my number 5, which is, have you thought just adding more salt to it? I have a lot of issues with salt. Actually, I have one issue with salt, which is that, you know, a high amount of sodium is a migraine trigger. So I don't do this very often, but I know that for a lot of people, their first response, sometimes without even eating it, sometimes without even tasting it, they just start pouring on salt, right? It's like, well, does the salt qualify as a condiment? So I went in and I looked it up and I was like, yeah, especially because you can get like fancy salt. There's like pink salt and black salt and all this other kind of stuff that you can put on. But even as someone who generally doesn't add more salt, I recognize that a lot of the time, if you just want to, the flavors that you already have and you want them to pop, rather to add than adding more of that stuff, you can add more salt and it kind of just enhances everything anyway.
Yep.
Humans like salt.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, we do. That is a good one, Rodrigo. Not on my list, but definitely one that a lot of people overuse. My grandfather, my grandparents used to salt on everything. Mm-hmm. And I think my parents were kind of that way too growing up. But I know when I got older, I was just like, yeah, I don't like stuff that's completely salty. I mean, I like salt on stuff like salt on popcorn. Really good. Salt on, you know, a steak before you cook it. Real good. Yeah. But like, let me put salt. I'm not a big salt on a watermelon person. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that love putting salt on a watermelon. But that's just not for me. Sorry, everybody.
We bought some of that pink sea salt, which is the really thick crystal. Mm-hmm. And we used it to make, the child used it to make chocolate chip cookies. And I tell you, when you get like a little hint, just like a pop of that pink salt in the bite, oh my gosh, it's so perfect. It makes the chocolate chip cookie better. And people are like, salt is chocolate chip. It's in the
recipe. Oh, salt and chocolate is a good combination. Sure. Salty, sweet, a good combination. So
speaking, I was like, oh, amazing.
Speaking of a good combination, my number five is fry sauce. If you haven't had fry sauce, you probably ought to try it. You're missing out. And I know a lot of people are sitting there going, what's fry sauce? Well, let me spell it out for you in simplest terms. One part ketchup, two parts mayonnaise. Stir it up and dip your French fries in it. Put it on your hamburger, put it on your ham sandwich, whatever it may be. And it's good. It's really good. And some people just, the idea of putting mayonnaise on a fry is disgusting to them. But then when you mix it up with a tomato paste, then suddenly it's like, oh, this is brilliant. It's funny because the other day, the youngest and I were sitting around and I had made some French fries for lunch. And I said, hey, do you want some mayonnaise and some ketchup for your fries? And he's like, oh, that sounds disgusting. That's gross. I'm like, no, you got to mix it up. And I told him about the first time I ever had fry sauce or the first time that I ever had mayonnaise on a French fry and how good it was. And he said, oh, no, that's really bad. And then he pauses for a moment. He goes, Dad, do we have any fry sauce? Because that stuff's really good. Mm-hmm. So if you're sitting around thinking that the mixture of the mayonnaise and the ketchup is disgusting, and yet you go to Five Guys or you go to Freddy's or you go to a lot of these fast food places, the Red Robins, and you ask for their fry sauce, it's not Thousand Island dressing, everyone. It's literally ketchup and mayonnaise, and they call it fry sauce. Also, if you're allergic to mayonnaise, I'm sorry, but fry sauce is my number five on my top five condiments. Matthew, what do you have for your number four?
I almost had fry sauce, or actually the version that you get at Red Robin, the campfire sauce, where instead of ketchup, they use the barbecue. But I started thinking about this. That's something that I only eat when I go to Red Robin. And, I don't go to Red Robin all the time. I don't have that kind of money. I answer phones. But my number four is something that probably three times out of five, when I send the child to do groceries, which, by the way, get children, you guys. Because eventually they turn 18.
Yes, they could be your little slaves. Yes.
Yeah, right. They can be. They can do the heavy lifting.
Yes, that's not the
way. Once your child can drive, you can be like, you can drive as long as you're willing to, like, go do errands, pick up your siblings, et cetera. Yeah, this is the sweet part.
They're excited to drop me off at work. They're excited to go get the groceries, and they're excited to go. And usually what I will do, the last, couple of years now, I've been on kind of a weird diet because of my stomach issues. In the last 8 or 9 months, I've been on an actual honest to Pete changing everything D word. I don't like the D word, but one of the things that I can still get away with on occasion, as long as I watch the fat level, is my number four, hummus. Now, before we have another situation that we don't speak of, I do want you to know that I had
hummus today.
And I made sure that it was on the list of condiments.
You can put hummus on stuff. Remember, again, a condiment is a thing that you put on something else to enhance the flavor or the taste. Now, if you had said, hey, my number four is a pizza on a ham sandwich because pizza makes a ham sandwich taste better, then we probably would have words.
But even hummus, though it does. Even though it clearly does.
Right. We would have words. But hummus is a good condiment. I like the red pepper hummus is really good.
I actually prefer like a garlicky hummus or something. The base of it is usually like a chickpea. But we get the Sabra, and you can get the Sabra hummus in the big container, that you can dip things in. As long as I'm not dipping something that tastes like drywall, I will literally eat just about anything with hummus on it. I've eaten like meat sticks with hummus. I've eaten pizza with hummus. My wife actually sent me to work one day with the last bit of hummus in the house and two pieces of leftover cold pizza. And that was like the best thing in the world. You can put hummus on anything, even other hummus. if you take like the red pepper hummus and then you mix it with the regular hummus and you put them together and then you like put them on bread, you actually can make yourself like a weird hummus sandwich.
It's amazing. A chickpea sandwich.
Chickpea sandwich. Exactly. You know what? People eat food. It's how we go.
Yep. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number four?
My number four, again, very basic. That is mayonnaise. Now, if you have been listening for the Major Spoilers family of podcasts for a long time, you know that my family has had some issues with mayonnaise, mostly in how you pronounce it.
That's what I was going to say.
But it's fine. It's fine. Obviously, we keep having those issues because we like mayonnaise. It's, you know, Stephen pointed out that people get grossed out by with like mayonnaise on fries, but that's Americans. Everybody south of the United States and everybody in Europe is very used to mayonnaise as a fry condiment, or really more appropriately, as everybody's more used to fries as a vehicle for mayonnaise, right? Because mayonnaise is one of those things where, because it's so thick and because it's has like a very distinct flavor, very often you have a sandwich and you're like, wow, this sandwich is delicious. Does it have really good ham? No, it just has mayonnaise on it. That's it. Like, mayonnaise is really good. It just hits like all of the taste centers pretty much. Do not bring that Miracle Whip stuff to my house.
Yeah, there are some people that hate the taste of mayo. At some point, I'll tell you, Justin Robert Young is very vocal about what he calls mayonnaise. And then there's other people like Brian Brushwood's kids who are allergic to eggs that they can't eat mayonnaise from that. And so it's like, they're missing out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, mayo is definitely a good one. It was going to be on my list as far as when we think of the sauces, condiments. But I was like, that may be too obvious to a lot of people to put some mayonnaise on your stuff. But I'm glad you got it on there. My number four, though, is very plain. It's a tomato, more specifically the heirloom tomato. And I think I like the heirloom tomato because, number one, it's the weirdest looking tomato. It's like the grossest of all the tomatoes that you see, besides the ones that are different colors on purpose, like that weird purpley tomato. But an heirloom tomato is it is not as liquidy as like your regular tomato, red ripened vined, whatever tomatoes that they have at the store. It doesn't have as much liquid. So if you're going to slice it and put that onto a sandwich, your bread doesn't get super soggy, or when you bite into it, you know, things aren't squirting out all over the place. It's got a very different texture than a regular tomato. And I really enjoy those. They actually fry up quite well. If you want to go that route, if you want to get a green one and fry that up that way. But a good heirloom tomato is my number four for the top five condiments. Slap one of them babies on your sandwich and you're good to go. Matthew, what do you have for your number three condiment?
My number three is one that actually fills me with sadness for the days when I could just drive like five blocks, sit down at a restaurant, have a big plate of food, and have four or five different options for barbecue sauce. We used to have, I don't even remember what it's called. It had a happy pig on the
Wild
on the front.
Barbecue.
We still have that. But they don't have like multiple sauces. I'm in Kansas, which means Kansas City barbecue. Boy, generally like a tomato and molasses based.
There is a
sauce.
There is on the east side of Lawrence, as you're taking the main strip out to Overland Park. There's a gas station that we stopped at like a couple of months ago, and we had to fill up, but they were also selling like barbecue in there. And I was like, well, it's not often you get a stop and have gas station barbecue. So let's try it. And it was good.
Yeah.
And we bought some sauce and it was good.
You get different ideas in different regions of what the sauce is. So around here, we have a lot of like that tomato and molasses flavor. And when we had this barbecue place, I could also get the Carolina flavor with like the mustard based sauce, which, I love that mustard vinegar based sauce. Just like, it's like amazing stuff. But when you start to break it down and you move around, there isn't really a barbecue sauce that I don't like. There are some that are too hot for me. Like we have a Thai place that has Thai barbecue that it's like, oof, burns my face off. But you have just various different wonderful things. And even if it's like, hey, we're going to dry rub it and they're going to have this and you don't even need sauce. I'm like, yeah, but I want it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of barbecue places that are like, no sauce. If you eat sauce on our barbecue, you're doing it wrong. And I'm like, oh, man, then I don't want your barbecue.
Here's the thing. It is absolutely within your right as a barbecue. The barbecue.
No, but they don't have the sauce at their restaurant. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, they just did the rub,
like
right?
That's yeah, the thing. It's just the rub. And it's just like, oh, that's all you need. I'm like, when I eat barbecue, I want my barbecue wet.
Exactly. And my wife is you don't need sauce. If you cook the meat correctly, you don't need sauce. And I'm like, first of all, Lieutenant Bortus, the universe is filled with wonder. And if I can have a little bit of sauce, no matter how wonderful that meat is, a little bit of sauce could make it even better. You know, why would I limit myself to merely the meat?
When I moved to Georgia, we would go and eat barbecue all the time. And we'd go to these places that were like literal shacks on the side of the road. Like you would be worried about opening the door because you would know that immediately you would have to go get 15 tetanus shots, these kind of places. But, man, they had some of the best wet barbecue that I don't know. I don't know if Georgia has a particular style of barbecue or if it's just Southern barbecue. But, I kind of miss that because then when I went to California, people are like, oh, yeah, we got barbecue. Would you like a barbecue pizza? And it's like, oh, you heathens. And then you come to Kansas and they're like, we just do dry rub.
Grilled fish over here.
And it's just like, ugh.
I don't know that Georgia has a style named for it, but I know that there's a couple of styles. There's Kentucky style and like the Carolina style around there. And of course, you know, you can't go wrong with Kansas City barbecue. I'm sorry. I'm not saying they invented it. I'm not saying that it's the best because it's where I grew up. You just can't go wrong with a Kansas City barbecue. It's just like a thing. You can mess it up. You can have terrible meat. You can have terrible sauce. And I'll still be like, yeah, that's great. Certainly makes a heck of a fondue. Give me two of those, you know. But yeah, barbecue sauce, my number three.
Rodrigo, what do you have for your number three?
Well, it's not barbecue sauce.
Darn it.
No, it's okay. There are barbecue sauces that I like, but it's just such a risk for me because my sugar, like my sweetness tolerance for like main courses is like much lower than the average Americans. Like if you give me a molasses based barbecue sauce and then like baked beans that were baked with like brown sugar, I'm like, well, I guess I'm starting with dessert. All right.
I'll get you some of my wife's candied yams sometime.
Oh, well, that sounds good.
They're a wonderful side.
So, no. My number three is, again, super basic yellow mustard. Mustard was mentioned as part of other stuff. It's like a very versatile thing. It's got a little bit of acidity, but not too much. And it's, you know, I think the reason for the popularity of yellow mustard is because it's a mild condiment that complements ketchup, right? And like people love ketchup, you know, traditionally that's what goes on hot dogs is ketchup and then maybe some mustard, unless you are from one of the like warring hot dog capitals and you're like, if it's not onion, like why would you put that? It's like here we only put like relish and like an entire chicken leg and a hot dog, and that's the only way to eat it. Something that I like to do is I actually like to cook with yellow mustard. Adding yellow mustard to, say, some chicken and some onions and some bell peppers, as it cooks the mustard, it doesn't really caramelize it. It kind of, you know, to a certain degree, like sears it, and it creates this thing that actually enhances sort of like the less pleasant aspects of mustard. Like it makes it, I think, a little bit more bitter. But when you take that with onions and the chicken and bell peppers or whatever, it all kind of comes together. So we always have a big old bottle of yellow mustard. If we're going to have hot dogs, we have yellow mustard. if we're going to cook, there's a good chance that yellow mustard is going to be involved. It's just, you know, a good thing to have around. You never know when like the kids will show up and they'll want something. So you're just like, okay, well, here's a ham sandwich with some mustard.
Here's
a mustard sandwich.
Yes. Here's a mustard sandwich.
Also, that yellow mustard is the sixth volume in Sin City series and one of the less problematic of that, which is to say it's not suitable for anyone.
It's still incredibly problematic, but not as much as all the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that, Rodrigo. My number three is a pickle, but it has to be sliced a specific way. Pickles are really good. They come in. You can get hot pickles. You can get sour pickles. You can get sweet pickles. You can get the kosher dills. But when it comes to condiments, I guess you could get them chopped up and turned into a relish. I like my dill pickles sliced lengthwise. It's called a sandwich slice. There's nothing wrong with a traditional round cut pickle, except that it soaks up a lot of the liquid and is very wet. I'm not, you know, I like my barbecue wet, but when it comes to picking up a sandwich or, you know, something, a bread or something else, I don't like it dripping with like liquids that should have been drained off a long time ago. Hence the heirloom tomato. But I noticed that the medallion slice, the round slice pickles, tend to have a lot more moisture in them than the sandwich sliced pickles. The other advantage to having a pickle sandwich sliced is that every bite of your sandwich has a pickle in it. Whereas if you just got some round pickles, maybe this bite has a pickle in it, and then you take a bite without a pickle in it, and then another bite, and it's like, where'd the pickles go? And then you bite again, and you're like, oh, I guess I ate all the pickles. But a pickle with a sandwich slice runs the length of your sandwich, and it's good that way. And if you're someone who likes pickles, I know over in the Major Spoilers Discord, in I think it was Poll of the Week, I forget which section it was in, there was a lively debate over whether women or men like pickles or not. You can go over there and weigh your thoughts in on that. I don't know why they do men like pickles. I mean, I like a pickle. Do women like pickles? My wife likes pickles.
Sometimes not really, people like pickles.
I'm not really sure what the point of it was over there, but you can go, listeners, you can go over to and join the Major Spoilers Discord server for free. There's a link in the show notes. And jump into, I believe it was the Poll of the Week channel. And there's a whole thing about pickles. Maybe, oh, shoot, I'm sorry. I think they're talking about Rugrats.
Okay, I don't like Rugrats.
Yeah. No, they're talking about pickles. And somebody's goofing off. Good. But listen, if you're going to have a pickle on your sandwich, do yourself a favor and get the sandwich sliced pickle. You don't have to get a quarter, you know, you don't have to get a pickle that's sliced a quarter or half or whatever that Jimmy John's or whatever that they try to serve you their giant gherkins in. But get yourself a sandwich slice pickle and your sandwich in your mouth will be happier. There you go. Also, link in the show notes to the Major Spoilers Discord. So there you go. We are now up to our number twos. Matthew, what do you have for your number two condiment?
First thing I have to give you with my number two is an apology, because there are things in the universe which cause me to suddenly break out speaking with accents. And I don't know why it happens. I think it's because I didn't have friends when I was a child. But we used to here in town have a steakhouse, an Outback steakhouse. And you're going to say, oh God, please don't do a terrible Australian accent. And I want you to know I won't, for two reasons. One, my Australian accent is absolutely perfect. And secondly, and more importantly, that's not the accent I'm talking about. When I went to the Outback, I would always order their shrimp on the Barbie appetizer, which came with a dipping sauce of remoulade. And you'll note, if you're listening closely, I'm doing the voice where I have to think about what I'm doing so I don't start talking like Justin Wilson, the Cajun cook, who used to talk about the remoulade sauce. And so I would go and I would get this remoulade sauce, which is very similar in a lot of ways to Stephen's donkey sauce.
Yeah. Fry sauce.
It's got that mayonnaise base. It's got horseradish and mustard, but it's also got, in some cases, kind of a curry flavor to it. And it's got like some caper flavor and some horseradish in there. And it's really, really good. And I don't actually usually care for shrimp as a shrimp. Shrimp in a landlocked state is always a vehicle for good sauce, whether that be like a nice shrimp scampi with the butter or the remoulade sauce that you get at the Outback Steakhouse, or, you know, some sort of barbecue or some sort of, you know, dry rub, whatever it is. Our shrimp are not fresh. We know this. The ocean is 1,500 miles away. But if you dip it in the remoulade sauce, it will just fill you with life, and you will start talking about the good wine and how you gotta cook them toad head, Rodrigo. You gotta take them toad head. You cook them, but you don't want their little eye to pop out. And that's why I must stop using my horrific Cajun patois and let you know that my number two is a really, really good remoulade sauce.
Okay, Rodrigo, what do you have for your number two?
Oh, Charles Xavier is a spooky Mardi Gras up in the danger room. my number two, we're up to twos, right? Yeah.
We are to our twos.
Okay. Number two for me is something that I had when I was young, when I was like a kid, and then I kind of stopped eating it and then sort of rediscovered it in my 20s. And that is green sauce, right? Salsa verde. Mm-hmm. Salsa verde, if you've never had it, there's a very good chance that you have had what people generally in the U.S. refer to as salsa is usually a form of salsa roja, which means red sauce. Mm-hmm. The difference between the two, I mean, there can be thousands of differences because there's lots of differences in how people make them. But the main difference is that your red sauce is made of tomato, your green sauce is made of tomatillo, which is a different guy, right? It's a different little guy. It's a little green tomato looking guy, and it is, you know, bitter and kind of sour. And that, that's,
I mean, Matthew's right here.
How dare you, sir? I am not a tomatillo. I am tomato grande.
Yeah. That's Senor Hydroponics. Obviously green sauce is also great to cook with. You really don't need much if you are, again, you know, chicken's sort of the best vehicle when you want things to pop because it doesn't have a super strong flavor, but you can do it with any sort of meat. You just throw some stuff in a pan and then just coat it in green sauce, and it's probably going to come out pretty good. The like Herdez green sauce that you find in the supermarket is just fine. You don't have to go, you know, track something down, because that's a legit kind of salsa verde. You might, you know, if you do go and investigate it and find one you like better, that's fine. But there's nothing authentic about like your, you know, the stuff that you find in the supermarket, at least as far as I know, unless they've started like subbing something out. And even then, whatever they're subbing out, chances are there's some kitchen somewhere in Mexico that subs it out that way too. So yeah, don't worry too much about that. Just go to the like the world.
Yes, or like the world foreign,
the world aisle.
Nice. International can, foods.
Yeah, you can just go and you can get your salsa verde, your sriracha, and a box of Pocky right next to each other. and then that's it. That's you just pick up some meat on the way out and you're good.
Toblerone, man.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, definitely.
There was, and I forget if it's 99% Invisible. I'm pretty sure they did an episode on the international food aisle. And oh, yeah. Why it seems super, super racist to just lump anything that's not quote unquote American into that aisle. Sure. But when they first introduced it specifically for Chinese food, Chinese food sales, and I forget which it's a, I don't know if it's a brand that's still around or not, but their sales went through the roof. And so they actually encouraged the stores to keep it around because people knew if they were looking for a particular type of noodle or a particular type of sauce, they didn't have to go and find it among the other 37,000, you know, Italian right. sauces or American and, sauces or whatever. They just knew that it was going to be in that one spot. So it became a much better product placement for them to have that.
Well, and you see that too. it really depends on the store and what their policies are, right? It's like sometimes you find plenty of Mexican products outside of the world aisle because, you know, like there are Mexican brands of beans, Mexican brands of tortillas and stuff. And like, you know, it just depends how they do things. I mean, I could definitely see that it's actually like, it's like, here's the aisle of things that you don't normally cook with or you don't normally eat. It just happens that most of those things are because you're like, you know, because you're a WASP.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, I mean, I'm almost positive it was a 99% invisible episode, but you guys go check it out. You, Matthew and Rodrigo, and also listeners, because, again, I would be somebody that would be like, oh no, down with the international aisle. How racist is that? Cause my wife and I even joke that it's time to go down the racist aisle. But no, they made a really good argument of why that's actually helped introduce people to, you know, Mexican food, Asian food. It's weird that, you know, like Italian food isn't in the international aisle and all of that. But
well, Italy's not international, actually.
I mean, in the 1800s,
I think that there would be a large number of people that would disagree with you there.
I mean, there is a reason, and it's because there are a lot of Italian Americans. Mm-hmm. Like cooking spaghetti with red sauce is something that Americans just do. And it's because, you know, there was like a formative amount of Italians that have moved into the country and have continued to live here. So in a lot of ways, Italian food is just absorbed, right? It's like you don't go to the international aisle for pizza because all Americans eat pizza.
Yep.
And it's kind of the same thing for a lot of like German stuff, right? It's like you don't find brats in the international aisle. Like Americans just eat brats.
Yep.
It's true.
I was trying to really quickly see if I could find the episode. It was about 6 months to a year ago. I'll find it here shortly. But my number two is very similar to Rodrigo's number three. You had plain regular yellow mustard. When it comes to mustard for me, which is my number two, I need to have the stone ground mustard. I know some people like the honey mustard, and I know some people like the spicy brown mustard. Spicy brown would be my number two. But if you can give me a stone ground mustard with the large seeds still intact in that, that's my favorite kind of mustard to put on anything. Specifically, the brand that I like, and it's my brand, maybe not necessarily your brand, is the Ingelhofer German style. I think
you
it's German.
Made that up.
No, it's Ingelhofer stone ground mustard. I don't know
Would
if you
like
can find it in the
Ingelhofer mustard.
No, Ingelhofer, not Dinglehopper. I like that texture that mustard gives. Plus, it gives a different kind of look. And depending on, and I think the Ingelhofer brand has a spiciness, a little bit of a spiciness to it. We don't get it that often because I'm the only one that eats it. So we get it in these, and I think it only comes in little tiny jars. So like two tablespoons of this stuff and the jar is empty kind of thing. I'm the only one that likes it because nobody else in my family likes stone ground mustard. They either like French's yellow or Dijon if we have it. I mean, I think if you open up the fridge, we have like six different types of mustards in there. But for me, the stone ground mustard is a great condiment to put on pretty much anything from chicken to ham to I haven't ever had it on steak, but I could imagine that it's not horrible on steak. Although if you do your steak properly, as your wife says, Matthew, you don't need to put anything on it. But stone ground mustard is good.
Yeah, definitely Ingelhofer's. If it was like Ingelhofer's old timey stone ground mustard,
look at the label for it, and it's like this old German.
Yeah, it's got like a little German guy with a big mustache.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. But ours comes in a jar. I think they have a squeeze version of it, but that one's even small too. But it's good stuff. All right. We are now up to our number ones. And dear listeners, if you would like to see us continue to talk about weird foods or weird things or our favorite things, whether they be movies or let me look here. I've got a whole list right here that I have written down.
I think we should do
topics that are coming up. Let's see. Here's what's coming up. Things to cook on game night, favorite authors, superhero tropes, video games we're playing right now, annoyances about getting older, scary comics. Those are just some of the things that are on the list coming up. And if you would like to hear those shows and like to see even more top five come your way, then make sure you point your browser to patreon.com/majorspoiler. Sign up for something as little as $5 a month That's about a buck an episode. If you find value in what we do, a buck an episode is all we're asking. $5 will get you that over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. And we love and appreciate everyone who is currently a sponsor and everyone who's going to become a sponsor this week, which I know includes you listening right now. All right, Matthew, let us get to our number one condiment. What do you have?
Well, I thought, you know, since you guys were waxing poetic about your favorite mustards, I would finish the Mustard trilogy with my favorite mustard, which is my number one. But it's not just any mustard. Oh, no. And it's not something highfalutin like Dinglehopper. No, my friends. Though you may be listening to my list and go, oh, the black tie peanut sauce and the hummus and the remoulade. He is clearly a worldly man. No, my friends. I am merely a fat man. And so I want to take you back to the year 1983. I was 12 years old, and we had to drive 50 miles to get to the nearest McDonald's. But when we did, it was a magical experience. And that McDonald's had, for the first time, chicken McNuggets. Now, there are four kinds of chicken McNuggets. There's the bell, the bone, the boot, and I think the banana. I don't know what the fourth one is. But
the iron.
The iron, yeah. I think there's like a corgi in there and like a race car. I always wanted to be the thing.
I think it was a Scotty.
Yeah, that's what it was. Corgi, Scotty. It's really all the same thing. But it depends on how you cook them, with some garlic and nice mustard. But when you have your chicken McNuggets, there are three things you need to know. First, and people will try to tell you, don't ever listen to how the nuggets are made. You don't want to know. You don't need to know. It's a nugget. Number two, they are McNuggets. But if you say McNugget at another restaurant, people will give you the stink eye. So don't do that. And three, get yourself a little packet of McDonald's hot mustard, my number one condiment in the universe, frankly, honestly. There is something about a McDonald's hot mustard, or as my people call it, Zenift, that you just can't replicate with just like a regular sort of spicy brown or a yellow. And when I've tried to do it, because in 2015, you may know, the dark day came. We are truly in the darkest timeline when McDonald's eliminated the hot mustard from their menu. Everything that came after that, the events of November 2016, all because of the hot mustard. All of the terror of the last 5 years, all because of the hot mustard. Pandemics, I mean, floods, fire.
You and every other, what is it, Rick and Morty fan loves the hot mustard, right?
No, the Rick and Morty fans.
That's a different one. That was like hoisin sauce.
Oh, yeah, right. The Rick and Morty fans want the hoisin, and I'm just like,
hoisin,
you know,
is
what?
Good, too.
Yeah, hoisin is good, but it's not hot mustard. And when you get a McDonald's hot mustard, first thing you need to do is, you know, you can put it on anything. You put it on your hash browns. You can put it on your fries. Back when the child used to eat chicken, we would go to the McDonald's, we would get the McChicken dollar sandwiches, and then they would put the hot mustard on their chicken sandwich. You can put it on the hamburger if you want. There was a time when I would literally bring them home and keep them in the fridge, and they would be like a sauce for me with which to cook. The adult women in my house have put the smackdown on that, partly because, well, the fridge doesn't have a lot of room in it anymore. And, you know, there's only so many different ways you can cook something with hot mustard sauce. And I will always eat it. I will always love it. It is my friend. It is the manna. It is, I mean, if you were to take my blood right now, I believe I would be 40% McDonald's hot mustard and 20% butterscotch ripple. Hmm. But if you've never had it, you should check, because it's back in Topeka, Kansas McDonald's restaurants. I don't know if it is across the country or around the globe. But if you've never had it, I want you to go to the McDonald's and I want you to tell them, a fat guy told me that you have hot mustard, and they'll nod.
And they'll go, oh, we know him. He comes in every Tuesday. Yeah. He orders a 20 piece.
Yeah, we know Matthew. Oh, you never get the 20 piece. No. The 20 piece is bad. If you buy two 10s, it's actually cheaper than a 20. If you buy four 10s.
Rodrigo, what do you have for your number one?
My number one.
Sixes,
Yeah, you can. I think you can buy like low end Senef online.
Mm.
Maybe there's like a thing here I'm seeing that comes like in a toothpaste tube.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe something when you can't get out to the McDonald's. But my number one is something that's very simple, like pretty much the rest of my list. But it's something that has to be fresh. So you can't just have something stashed away for the hard times. You kind of have to go out to the store and get fresh ones. And that is lime. You can't get bottled lime juice, but in my experience, it's kind of not the same.
No, it is not.
It really isn't. And I think I feel like bottled lime juice loses, like limes. I prefer limes to lemons for almost anything that you would use a lime or a lemon, except maybe cooking fish, because they're more bitter, because they're more sour. But the lime has a sweetness too. They, you know, have a certain amount of sugar as well. And I find that the bottled lime juice that gets really lost. I don't know if it just separates in a weird way or what.
I think it's like there's something. I think it's the preservative. Yeah.
So yeah, it to me, both lime and lemon juice that are just like a bottle of like pure lemon juice or lime juice, they have a weird aftertaste. So yeah, if you can go get a fresh lime, you cut that, you squeeze that pretty much over any of the food that I've already talked to today, except maybe fries and mayonnaise. And even then, mayonnaise actually is made with lemon a lot of the time. So it's probably not actually going to be that big of a deal. But a fresh squeeze of lime on your tacos, on a steak, on whatever you want is going to just give it that, like, that bright pop, right? That I think people spend a lot of time trying to like science out why Mexican food is so good. But what you need to make Mexican food is garlic, onion, cilantro, and then you just throw some lime on it sometimes during the cooking, but mostly at the end, and you're gonna have something that tastes pretty good. Don't worry too much about cumin, like, just leave that over there for now. Just go back to the basics. So yeah, you want your, you know, you just cook some chicken, you just cook some you know, steak or whatever, or some like beef of some kind. You're thinking that it needs something, squeeze some lime on it. I think you'll like what you get.
Yep, I would agree with you on that for your number one, Rodrigo, because going back to Matthew's number five with the Thai dishes, we have a lot of that obviously here in our home. And if we can, always with the fresh limes. There's always some limes in the house somewhere. Well, most of the time we do have the bottled lime, but it is just not the same. And I will be I get very upset if not upset, like, this is ruined, but, you know, sad upset that if the pot thai drops and it's like, oh, we don't have any limes.
Yeah.
The meal's ruined.
Yeah. Like we'll make guacamole and finding that we don't have fresh limes. It's like, well, do we use the bottled lime juice? And like, that just seems like a waste of avocados, which are kind of expensive.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I guess we've got to run out and get some
drive to the store and get some wine.
Yep.
All right. My number one, again, is a super basic. It's a super basic condiment that you're going to find on a lot of sandwiches, especially. But my number one is lettuce. The thing is, I'm going to, you know, all of my things are not just mustard. It's a very specific kind of mustard, not just pickle, very specific slice of pickle. Lettuce is the same way. If you just go and buy iceberg lettuce, unless you're eating a lot of lettuce, it's like lettuce is like the TARDIS of vegetables, right? The minute you cut that thing, it's like you got more lettuce than was actually in the head of lettuce, right? And the other thing is, the minute you cut that head of lettuce, and head of lettuce, it's called a head of lettuce because the size of your head. The minute you cut that lettuce, you're on a timer for that lettuce to go bad really, really fast. So we buy iceberg lettuce very, very seldom. The tortoise likes iceberg lettuce. He also likes the spring mix that you get. The second type of lettuce that you can get that I think is really good on sandwiches is your romaine lettuce. Romaine lettuce is good, but romaine lettuce is actually pretty big when it comes to the leaf. And you are losing quite a bit when you chop off the bottom part. And then you also got to wash it because for whatever reason, romaine lettuce has a lot of sand in it. I don't know why, but there's a lot of sand. Yeah. And I don't like that. But if you're looking for the perfect combination of romaine and not very much romaine, you need to get these little cute little things in the vegetable aisle called baby romaine. And they're just like this little teeny tiny little romaine lettuce. And the nice thing is you're not wasting a whole lot of it because you can just buy like two or three little heads of these baby romaines and each one's got like five or six leaves on it. So, you know, it's not like you're going to have a lot sitting around and spoiling, but it's easy to wash and there's not a lot left over. And it's just so cute because it's like a fun pack of lettuce. And you don't have to have stuff that's pre-cut that, again, who knows what preservatives they're putting on that stuff. Or, you know, you get to the bottom of the bag and it's all brown and wet. But just buy these little baby romaine heads of lettuce. And they're so good and they're fresh. They've got a different taste to them over the regular romaine lettuce because they're young. And as we've learned with our baby sheep and our baby calves, they taste much better before they get old and grown up. So when you can, the baby romaine lettuce is the best condiment to put on your sandwich.
You got to be careful, though. That's how Fry's started a war with Omicron Percy. I ate, my friend.
I don't care.
Don't eat their children.
But baby romaines are the best. So there you go. That is my number one condiment. Ladies and gentlemen, what are your favorite condiments to put on your food? I already mentioned you can head over to our Discord, but I'll mention it again. There's a link in the show notes. You can join the Major Spoilers Discord server for free. You can drop into the top five channel and share your top five condiments. Other people are going to share their top five condiments. And if you become a patron, you can unlock secret channels that only patrons have access to. Find out more about that at patreon.com/majorspoilers. And until then, we're going to be waiting for your top five to appear over on the Discord. Why? Because everybody loves a list.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.